Hello, my name's Kate Rowles and I'm interviewing you for the Wellcome Trust as you're taking part in Anthony Gormley's new artwork, One and Other. The date today is the 2nd of August 2009 and the time is 15:19. If I can please ask you to state your full name, your date of birth and where you come from.
I'm Andrew West. I was born on the 19th of May 1983 and I'm from Stratford-upon-Avon.
And how are you today, Andrew?
I'm well, thank you.
If I can take you back to when you first heard about the project, mm-hmm. and ask you what was it that motivated you to apply?
A friend of mine was very much into. I think she knows Anthony Gormley, and she put on Twitter, "Ooh, there's that new thing," and then it was all over the media after that. And I'm always up for different things, and I probably slightly vain. So I thought, oh yeah, okay, I quite fancy standing in Trafalgar Square. So yeah, I just kind of, you know, it was a quick 5 minutes and then you forget about it after that.
Yeah. And then when you realised you had got a place, how did you decide how to use your hour?
Lots of agonising. We spent quite a long time, throughout lots and lots of ideas, and eventually came back to the idea we thought of in the first place, but had been I'd been too much of a wuss to contemplate. Which is what we're going to do. We've got two large banners that used to be on the Atheist Bus campaign that ran in January. Had these enormous banners that said, "There's probably no God now, stop worrying and enjoy your life." And we always wanted to put the banner up, but that was a bit boring on its own, to stand there with the signs. So we're going to actually try and enjoy life by teaching the dance routine to Thriller. And so we've got a big speaker, we're going to play that, and I'm going to attempt to teach that to the crowds below.
Amazing. You say we. Who's we?
Mostly me. And I was kind of bouncing off ideas off kind of various friends in various places. I belonged to a dance group, and they heavily suggested that I teach Thriller. So I kind of combined my kind of two interests there.
Your two interests being dance and...
I'm quite involved in the kind of atheist humanist, humanist community, really.
Okay. So firstly, the dance. Did you already know the routine to
Yes.
Thriller? Have you learned it especially?
Yes. I've been dancing for about 4 years, not in a... I mean, I'm strictly an amateur, so I've just been kind of doing ballroom and Latin, the kind of thing you see on Strictly Come Dancing. But my dance group, one of them was turning 50 in February, so we all learnt the routine to Thriller over the end of last year for his 50th birthday party. And we've been kind of just doing it ever since, just so you don't forget it. So yeah, I happen to know all the moves.
And are you going to have a costume like what Michael Jackson would have worn?
No, thankfully I didn't go with that, because it's incredibly hot. Well, it's not incredibly hot, but it's quite warm today, and I think the red leather would have been a bit much. So no, I've got my There's Probably No God t-shirt, which we just located an hour ago, and that'll have to do. Although there are some people who apparently might come dressed as zombies. Whether this will actually come to pass, I don't know, but they've threatened to.
Okay.
So that'd be quite fun.
And the atheist group that you're a member of, does it have a name?
It's not so much a group, really. I mean, I do a lot of work for the British Humanist Association, I'm their volunteer photographer this year. I'm doing a photography degree, and that's what I do most of the time. So I'm helping them out. The BHA are they kind of represent humanism, which is kind of atheism plus kind of a life worldview. And they represent that and kind of lobby government and try and get the word out about humanism.
Mm. And how did you get involved in that?
I just kind of drifted into it. I kind of drifted into atheism in my late teens, and a few kind of, you know, political hot potatoes come up that you start feeling a bit, you think, I should probably, you know, try and help with that cause. And the BHA... I joined the BHA as a member, and was a silent member for a long time until the beginning of this year, when I did a photography project with them, and I kind of got to know them that way. So when this project came up, it was a natural fit, especially with the bus campaign at the beginning of this year, which was, you know, such a nice positive thing. Atheism has this such a negative connotation, you know, it's always it's always seen as being grumpy and telling people what they can and can't do, which isn't true, but that's always the impression. So we wanted to do something, you know, nice and happy and not preachy, but just to, you know, just to help people enjoy their lives.
Yeah. Great. And what kind of work does the association do?
They, for example, they're quite heavy on faith schools at the moment. So arguing for, to say that faith schools are essentially segregating children by religion at the moment. You've got Christian school and the Muslim school, which encourages you to see, you know, the other. They much prefer community schools where everyone come together. They lobby for example, the last census, 2001, I think, had a question which just said, "What religion are you?" So most people do what you do. If you haven't really thought about it, you tick. The previous question was, "What race are you?" So, but you just do what you do, and you just tick white, Church of England. And it's not fairly representative. It came out something in the high 50s saying Church of England, whereas if you do studies which say, what are you? Firstly, they say, "Are you religious? Yes or no? If yes, what are you?" That comes out much lower. And it's not to attack anybody, but it's just to say, you know, this is artificially inflating the numbers. MPs are taking into account this opinion more than they need to. There are more people out there who aren't bothered by these such religious topics. So yeah, faith schools, the census, that kind of thing. And they've promoted it to the public. They sponsored the bus campaign earlier this year. They're involved in promoting to the public and lobbying government. Mm.
And is this something that you want to get more involved in? Your role with them as a photographer, mm-hmm. at the moment, would you like to take more of an active role in the campaign sense?
I would. I don't have any... I mean, all the people who work for them are kind of... more, they're very media savvy and they're kind of more specialist. You know, I can do photography, but I don't know if I could kind of move over very easily. I mean, yeah, yes, I would. It would just depend whether, you know, whether I'm up to that. But I would, that'd be nice.
Yeah. Okay. And where are you doing your photography degree?
I'm at the University of Westminster. Okay. Despite living in Stratford-upon-Avon, so I kind of commute in.
Gosh. Yeah. And how are you finding the degree course?
You shouldn't have asked that. It's all right. It's split into practical and theory. The practical is wonderful. They teach you all sorts of fascinating things about how to use cameras and how to light, which is incredibly useful. And the theory side is a lot of art theory, which sounds terribly, makes us sound like a terrible philistine, but isn't really my thing. I tend to find it all a bit, because I have more of a science background, I tend to find it all a bit loose and never actually doing anything. It's all, they're still always talking about Freud, and you think, well, his psychological theories were discredited ages ago. But so yes, a degree is great practically, theoretically not so much. Mm-hmm. But I'm halfway through now, so you know, I'm on the home straight.
And have you found a niche area that you feel is what you're about with your own photography?
No, not really. I mean, part of the reason I chose the degree was to do all sorts. I mean, you get introduced to all different genres. This year we're doing a lot of portrait work, so what I did with the BHA. Done some landscape work, more conceptual stuff. So I'm just doing all sorts of different things and seeing what I like doing, really. Mm. So no, not yet.
You took portraits of members. In what capacity? You said you were doing portraits for the BHA. Mm. In what capacity were you doing that?
I was working on a project. It was for a documentary module at university. And it was... I called it Happy Humanists. And in the same kind of vein as I was saying about the bus campaign, as to kind of counter this idea of atheism and humanism as negative and reactionary and grumpy and shouty, we were going to take pictures of as many humanists as we could and ask them all the same question. We asked them, what are you happy about? And I've just finished putting together a book. Just a little book with a full-page picture and then their answer to the question. It's just a nice, happy little thing. We're currently trying to put it together so it's not insanely expensive. Photography books, 114 pages, you know, comes out at £20, and no one's going to buy a £20 book, so we're just figuring out how to do that. Mm. But that's been great fun. I've met all sorts of interesting people.
Yeah, I bet. And what are your kind of goals over the next 10 years or so? Have you got a plan?
Ooh, no. I mean, it's... No. I don't know at all. It's... I've got to... I mean, I'm a part-time student. And once that finishes, I'm going to have to, you know, properly get my act together and get a proper job and figure out how I'm going to make a living, just in case, you know, I have to start dealing with families anytime soon. I think none of that at the moment, but you never know. And if... So, no, I don't know. I'm kind of enjoying myself at the moment, but I'm trying to formulate a plan as things come up.
Yeah. Do you want to be a photographer, do you think?
Maybe. I quite enjoy it. I'm honestly okay. But I'm self-aware enough to know I'm nothing special. I could probably get by, you know, running a portrait gallery or something like that, which is okay. But I kind of, you know, like everyone, you want to do something that you're not necessarily gifted, but, you know, good at, and that you can, you know, excel. But I do quite enjoy that, and it would be nice to, find a niche and get really good at that and try and exploit that.
And your dancing, is that something you want to carry on with as well? Is that something you... What does dancing give you? Because it's really nice to hear a guy say that he goes and does ballroom dancing.
Yeah, it's nice. It's just like nothing else I do. It's... You know, it's the good thing about ballroom and Latin is that it's very structured. You know, you step forward on this foot, you do this, and you kind of have a routine, which means you can... Anyone else who has learnt it, you can kind of immediately dance with, which is very nice. But it's just, I suppose it's a bit more visceral. You learn, I've been learning 4 years, and you just do it without thinking. And it's a bit, you know, you can just get carried away with the music sometimes. And I do enjoy doing that. It's just nice. I don't have any particular goal. It was suggested that I kind of start moving into the competition side, which is fine. You kind of do a few competitions, then it gets up to the level of fake tans and £700 tail suits, and that's a bit much. I don't need to do that. I think I'm happy as an amateur.
And what's the group age range?
I'm generally the young there by 20 years. I know a couple of people of my own age who dropped out. Is my current partner is about my age, and yeah, you go to dances and you're almost always the youngest there. It is very difficult to get younger people involved, although Strictly Come Dancing has helped quite a lot. Mm-hmm. I believe, but yeah, you do end up I did originally think it was suggested to me when I first went dancing, I said, oh, that would be good, you can meet women, and it wasn't the main aim, but it was just a, you know, background thing, and no, if anyone ever says that, put them straight, because that won't happen.
And what you said, you grew up in Stratford-upon-Avon. Is that what's it like there? How do you find growing up there? Shakespeare's.
I've lived there for 4 years. I grew up about half an hour away, but I was always visiting. I always liked the place. That's why I kind of moved there. Yeah, it's really nice. It's. It's interesting contrasting it with London, coming here so much for university. And Stratford, yeah, it's a lovely place. It is safe and clean and a nice place to be. Coming to London, you do realise that it's kind of writing and... They redid the all the theatre gardens last year, and you should have heard the fuss from the residents. It's just any kind of change. The great thing is that it's not completely stuck, because they're always changing the plays. You know, it's always continually active and different and moving, which is why I think I can stick out living there. But I kind of, at some point, I'm going to have to move to London just because there's so much more going on. Mm-hmm. But Stratford is a lovely place to be. I'm very, very lucky to be there. I got a ridiculous deal on a flat just by total chance. And I do like it there. It's just increasingly a bit provincial.
Mm. And what's the name of the town that you grew up in?
I'm from Solihull, just near Birmingham.
Solihull. Could you tell me a little bit about your upbringing?
Fairly middle class, I suppose. Solihull, is a, I suppose, I mean, you've got to be honest, it's a fairly well-off area. My parents aren't incredibly well-off, but, you know, they do okay. I was brought up there. Went to the local school. I was just thinking, you know, they're probably 99% white. And again, it's a pleasant, safe area, to the extent that once I started leaving there, once I got a bit older, you know, it was a bit of a culture shock to discover that everywhere wasn't quite like that, which obviously isn't a complaint. That would be an awful thing to complain about. It just came as a bit of a surprise, just being brought up like that. A fairly standard, dull upbringing, really. Just went to school, left there, went to college. And then didn't want to go to university, so started my own business running computers and then moved to Stratford.
Did you continue with the business for a while?
I still do that part-time, so I'm at university part-time, so I do that the rest of the time. Okay. To keep myself afloat, in theory, which is, it just works.
So you must be quite IT savvy.
Yes. Within the sphere I work in, yes. I do okay.
And how do you find running your own business?
I like the, you know, I like the freedom. I can go wherever and do whatever I want. You know, if I want to come down, I mean, today's a Sunday, but if it had been a Wednesday, it wouldn't have been a problem. I could have just come down. Obviously you have the worry of, am I going to have enough money next month? Which kind of offsets it, but you have to decide what you want. Sometimes you can have waves of doing really well, and then you have 3 months. Normally in the lead up to Christmas there's nothing, and you just have to kind of ride it out. But I do like it. That would be my ideal thing, you know. Big surprise. My ideal thing is to find a nice job where I can work from home and choose my own hours and things. But having experienced that, it would be nice to be able to continue it.
And today you're going to be on the fourth plinth.
I am.
What does it mean to you personally to stand on the fourth plinth in Trafalgar Square?
I mean, to me personally, I suppose it's a, I kind of, you know, I like to collect interesting experiences, I'm very glad that I can help promote the cause and do something fun. I think, you know, we've come up with something reasonably interesting, and we've actually, as long as it goes okay, we've actually managed to make the most of it. I was kind of, I did want to be spending next week thinking, damn, I could have done better than that. Doing something interesting, you have to admit to a certain amount of... I when I was younger, I used to be a magician, so I used to go on stage quite a lot, and I always used to, you know, you enjoy being on stage, you enjoy being watched and doing interesting things, so there is an element of that. Haven't been on stage for 10 years, mind, so could all turn around and go terribly, terribly wrong. But we'll see.
Where were you a magician?
Just my local area. There was a magical group in Birmingham that I joined. I did a couple of children's parties. I did a couple of big stage shows as kind of variety acts. And I did lots of shows at school. And won a couple of local competitions. I really enjoyed that until I hit puberty, and I suddenly realised that some people out there were just laughing at me, and it kind of petered out. And now I'm a bit older, I can think, yeah, I think, okay, I should probably take that up again. So, you know, I can deal with that now. But, you know, when you're 15, 16, that's a big thing.
Is there anything else that you'd like to say about taking part in this work and coming here to sort of represent your cause in a way?
Only that it's... I just like the idea. As you may have noticed earlier, I'm not particularly into necessarily the art theory side, but just as a use of the plinth, getting people to stand up there all the time, it's just really, really interesting. It's just fun and nice. You know, whatever time you think, oh, just have a look at the one another website and tune in and just see who's up there. And yeah, sometimes it's some guy standing there, and sometimes it's like it was the other day, a guy putting together a chest of drawers. And he was trying to do this in an hour, and it was surprisingly tense. It was a bit like watching 24. He gets the last 10 minutes, like, oh, 10 minutes. Oh, is he going to make it? Oh, he's putting in the last. Oh, no, look, that's the wrong screw. He's got to undo all these bits. And you find yourself just getting into these things and seeing these interesting people. And it's just, yeah, I just like it as an idea. It's just fun. And it's been lovely coming here. Everyone's been so friendly. And I'm so lucky getting this slot. You know, it could have been 2 o'clock in the morning on a Wednesday. I've got a lovely Sunday afternoon. All the people, you know, all we put out the call to get a lot of atheists and humanists to come down, and you know, it's a Sunday, they can, and it's lovely and sunny. So I just think it's just a nice all around. I'm really enjoying it.
How many people have you asked to come down?
We put the call out on Twitter and Facebook. We had 30 people said yes. We had another 35 people say they might. And I know kind of there's a few, you know, lots of people have told their friends, you know, people who aren't on Facebook or whatever. So we're hoping there'll be a kind of a bit of a posse up there to start things off. That's the idea.
You said earlier that you like to collect interesting experiences. What collection will you add this to?
Earlier this year I went on, what do they call it? They called it a flash date. Where it was on Valentine's Day, and for anyone single, you just met up in front of the National Gallery with a card for a random stranger and just handed it out. And it wasn't actually to get a date, but it was just as a nice thing, you know, just so you go home with a Valentine's card that day. And that was nice, you know, met all sorts of interesting people and went out for dinner that evening. We were like, oh, look, there's like 8 of us left. Oh, we're the stalwarts. We're the ones who, you know, lasted till the end. And then a few minutes later, we thought, unless everyone else has paired off and gone out, which would be a bit odd. But yeah, I did that earlier this year. I'm sure there are other interesting things I've done. But none of them quite come to mind at the moment. Yes, things like that.
Sounds like you've got quite a lot of interest with your dance and your own business, and your degree is a lot to juggle.
It can be, yeah. You tend to, yeah, the final 2 weeks of term, you generally just tend to stop working. I don't know what would happen if one of my clients had a major computer crash in the last week. That would be a problem. But you just have, you know, you just have to hope it works out. And yeah, sometimes things come to the fore. You know, I've been doing a lot of humanist stuff this last 6 months. And not so much of the kind of dancing generally, but end of last year it was the other way around. Mm-hmm. So you just take it, see how it goes.
Yeah. What are there any with the humanist kind of work that you do, or your interests in the subject? Is the idea to kind of live life to the full, or could you just explain a little bit to me about humanism?
Well, generally, I think the easiest way is to. People start with atheism, and atheism is kind of a non-belief. It's not actually saying that we firmly believe there is no God, but you know, you say, take the reasonable scientific view and say, well, can't see any evidence, therefore I shall provisionally conclude this. But that doesn't say anything at all. That's like saying, I don't believe in unicorns. That doesn't say anything about who you are or what you do. Atheists as a group disagree on everything. You know, it's like herding cats. The fact that the atheist bus campaign even happened was not miraculous. Obviously, but it was quite the thing. And so humanism is kind of, it's taking that a step further. It's saying, okay, we are committed to thinking things through without supernatural agents. So we will apply logic and reason to, you know, life generally. To say which, you know, includes emotion. It doesn't say it's not like Spock. But it's, you know, you look at faith schools and you say, okay, here's what we think the problems are. We're not going to take into account that, you know, we see that these people believe that there is a deity who wants them to do, you know, X, but we're going to take into account their feelings about that, but we will not acknowledge that, you know, we do not think that is in fact true. And humanists as a general rule are the atheists who are kind of have a more positive outlook on life. And say, you know, we have this one life to live, let's make the most of it. We, as humanity, need to progress, you know, we have progressed, we can see that history tends to move in a positive direction, can get better. We know how to get better. We can argue from logic and reason the ways to get better. Let's try and do this. Let's live our lives knowing that there's nobody out there watching us, but not thinking that's a bad thing, not thinking we're on our own. Knowing that it doesn't make like, because atheism is, and humanism are often people call it as if your life is meaningless. And you say, well, the meaning comes from within us. If you fall in love with someone, you could never say that is a meaningless experience. You don't need someone in the sky to make that a thing that matters. It inherently matters. There are many definitions of humanism, as there are humanists, to be honest. But it's a very loose conglomeration. There are no tenets that you have to subscribe to. You don't have to be a member of any humanist organisation. It's just a kind of general descriptive word. Just to say, yeah, I tend to call it a commitment to thinking things through with logic and reason without use of the supernatural.
And do your parents have the same beliefs?
They never said anything about religion as growing up. My grandmother bought me the Bible in 365 easy stories, which I think made my parents read me, and they've since confessed that they found it that a bit uncomfortable, but you know, they weren't going to. They're very much of the what turns out to be a kind of very humanist way of raising your children, which is, we will teach you how to think about the world. We will not tell you how to think about the world, which is very much critical thinking skills. But you know, they never said anything to me about whether God existed. If I'd asked them, they would have. I think I did. You know, I think Mum wasn't sure. Dad was always a bit more atheistic. But once I got a bit old, I was kind of generically Christian for years and years and years until I left school. Picked up a Douglas Adams book, which had a foreword by Richard Dawkins. And I picked up one of his books. That was it, really. Once I'd seen it kind of argued out properly, I thought, well, yeah, okay, what are the counter arguments here? And I couldn't find anything that I thought made sense. So no, my parents never influenced me in any way. Mm-hmm. They were always very nice about it. And now, since you know what it's like, teenagers, once you become an atheist at 16, it's like, Mum, have you heard this? And I completely turn them around. They're now as atheist as I am, which is helpful. Sometimes you go around and you say, I think this, and they say, yes, us too. And you're like, thank goodness, I can't find anyone else who seems to think this.
How do you think your parents would describe you?
They probably see me as up and down, I suppose. I will spend a few weeks, yeah, madly active, doing lots and lots and lots of things, and then suddenly that'll all finish, and then I'll be a bit down, and I'll, you know, and that point, right, I need Mum and Dad to go and cheer me up. So they kind of see me when I'm, you know, either hyper or a bit low. But I think they would describe me as fairly interested in interesting things, I suppose. I don't know, I'll have to ask them that. I never really thought about that.
Yeah. And what do they think of you doing this today?
They're really excited, actually. I told them on when you had the idea, when you finalised the idea on Wednesday evening that we were going to do this, so it's all been a hell of a rush. And I told them on Thursday what I was going to do, and they were like, oh, that's a good idea, great. But and then promptly went on holiday, so they're not going to see it. Still, they're going to look at the website when they get back. I think they like it.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.